Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. With oxygen being essential to life and vitality, ozone therapy has become a reliable adjunctive therapy and treatment option in mitigating disease states, improving athletic performance, and in the overall state of well-being. What is ozone, you ask? Well, it is a supercharged oxygen. It's a molecule that contains three oxygen atoms, whereas the oxygen we breathe consists of two oxygen atoms. Ozone forms readily when sunlight strikes oxygen, so it is naturally present in our oxygen-rich atmosphere. You may have smelled it on yourself or on your little one's skin and hair after a long day outside in the glorious sun. I always wondered what that smell of playing outside was. It's always been one of my favorite scents. You might prefer the smell of sulfur dioxide from a match or the smell of benzene added to the gas, but neither of those odors yield any healing properties the way that ozone does. What does ozone do in your body? Studies indicate that once it has entered the body, ozone has the potential to do a few different things that are beneficial for health. The first is that it acts as a detoxifier and removes pathogens from systems. Since microbes are unable to survive in an oxygen-rich environment, boosting oxygen levels is like kryptonite to bacteria, mold, and other pathogens. But how exactly does this occur? Ozone carries an additional negatively charged ion. Research shows this may allow it to bind with many different types of toxins to neutralize them. The body can then have an easier time removing them. Once in the body, ozone has the potential to improve the health of mitochondria in the cells. These are the parts of the cell that are responsible for creating energy in the form of ATP. Ozone helps mitochondria become more efficient and effective, which can improve energy and mental clarity. Ozone therapy is also known to reduce inflammation, improve blood flow through vasodilation, reduce brain fog, and facilitate in wound healing. Our guest today, Jason D. Leone, has been a part of the functional medicine space for 12 years. He has been a marketing representative, assistant, lab director, and consultant in a multitude of healing environments. He has a broad understanding of many functional medicine modalities, but his specialty is ozone therapy, and he currently works as an expert EBU specialist, which stands for Extracorporeal Blood Oxygenation and Ozonation. He is the lead trainer for MedMasters, teaching medical professionals how to use this next-level ozone equipment to help deliver ozone therapy to patients. If you are contending with cancer, heart disease, Lyme, HIV, mold toxicity, chronic disease of any kind, or you just want to amp up your athletic performance, you won't want to miss this episode. Jason is super excited to help guide you in your ozone journey, whether you are a newbie, need help with standard ozone UBI, high-dose ozone therapy, or EBU full spectrum. He is eager to share his knowledge of the power of ozone therapy delivery systems of all kinds, and ultimately, the power of increasing oxygen levels in the body. Hello, everybody. We're joined here today by Jason DeLeon. He is a functional medicine man. He's been in that workspace for 12 years now. He's been a patient, a marketing representative, an assistant, lab director, and consultant. His specialty is in ozone, however, which is what we brought him here today to talk about. Welcome, Jason.
Welcome.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Awesome. We want to spend our time today with you elaborating on all things ozone therapy. So we have recently talked about mitochondrial function on all sorts of levels, be it sunshine and deuterium depleted water, et cetera, et cetera. And so today we really want to go into oxygen. So we know that's a favorite topic of yours. So we're looking forward to diving deep here today with you.
All right. So to start this off, we'll start with saying, you know, how long can your body go without food? Let's think about that. How long can your body go without water? Now, the last one is, how long can your body go without oxygen? So when you start thinking about just everything that your body needs, you could make the argument that oxygen is the most important need out of everything in the body. So when you talk about ozone therapy, it's supercharged oxygen. It's O3. So it's very much natural. Many of you who've never heard of ozone probably think of the ozone layer, which, that's a funny topic that we can get into as well. But I can tell you that you've smelled ozone before, even if you didn't know what it was called, because you smell it during a thunderstorm, like lightning produces ozone. Or your kids are outside playing. They come back inside. That smell that you smell is ozone. So it's essentially electricity and oxygen being combined to create O3. So it's a very diverse, very versatile tool, and ozone therapy is not new. It's been used in Germany for, you know, since the 1800s. It goes all the way back here in the U.S. to treat soldiers that had trench foot, that were exposed to poison gas in World War I. So, you know, it may be new to some people, and others, they may be a veteran to ozone therapy, but it is the ultimate adjunct therapy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's used in chronic disease states, but I know that it started off being used for AIDS and also cardiovascular disease about 20 years ago, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's definitely taken on some heavyweights as far as diagnoses go. But I can tell you now in 2024, the pulse has moved more towards like the biohackers and elite level athletes. There's several professional athletes that I've worked with over the past year that are using ozone therapy, specifically EBU, which we can talk about too here in a second. But that is, you know, I'd say where ozone is trended. So not only, and just me myself, I mean, I've worked in cancer specific hospitals all the way to elite performance athlete centers, biohacker centers. So whenever I say it's extremely versatile, you think about the health perspective of somebody who's battling stage 4 cancer all the way to a professional athlete who's at the top of the mountaintop. So that alone is very impressive. And, you know, that's what I mean by it being so versatile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And can you go over what the molecular structure of ozone is and how that breaks down into oxygen?
Yeah, for sure. So when you start talking about this whole ozone thing, I'll start from the beginning. So you have oxygen that is passing through in an ozone generator. You have to have a device called an ozone generator to create medicinal ozone. And it's taking oxygen running through it. It's being exposed to electricity in something called a reactor, where when it's being exposed to electricity, it's actually ripping the O2 molecules apart. It's separating them all apart. And then they come together as O3. As it outputs the device. So practitioners like yourself are using this to infuse it into blood or injections, and we'll get into all those different administrations of ozone. But specifically when it comes to exposing it to blood, I would say it's cleaning up the Krebs cycle of a cell. So to speak to Krebs cycle to someone who's never heard of that term before, It's essentially the intake and exhaust of a cell cycle. So you may know this in another way in your daily life is your car that you drive to work. If you have a gasoline car with a combustion engine, then it has an intake to exhaust cycle. So if any of that is off in your car, then you don't get very good gas mileage. So it's almost the same with a human cell. If it's not outputting correctly from intake to exhaust and you have all these waste products that are built up and not being expelled correctly, then you have a very inefficient energy production. And you have the basis or the start of, potential chronic illness, whatever that might be. So ozone is going to clean that up. And what it's doing when ozone first comes in contact with a cell, you're creating something called reactive oxidative species and LOPs. So I know this is a little technical, but you may know reactive oxidative species in things you may do, like let's say red light therapy, for instance. If anybody's ever, I know you guys have covered that on the podcast, and that creates reactive oxidative species. But those are your early and short acting reactions. And then there's a secondary reaction, a late and long lasting effects of ozone coming in contact with a red blood cell or a blood cell is that it's something called lipid oxide peroxides. So to walk you through all that, there is a little bit of biochemistry here. So the reactive oxidative species, they react with the erythrocytes, the leukocytes, and the platelets. Those are responsible for improved oxygen delivery, immune activation, and then your release of growth factors. So that's what you get primary as a primary benefit of ozone coming in contact to a cell. After that, you have these late and long lasting effects, which are the LOPs are being exposed to the endothelium, bone marrow, and you have this increased release of nitric oxide. And then you have this release of stem cells and then a messenger cell release. So that's the breakdown of it, where it goes from ozone back into oxygen again. And that's the whole entire cycle. But to a patient, what they would essentially benefit from, what they would feel from ozone therapy is this increased oxygen uptake. Mm-hmm. Vasodilation is what they're going to feel. You have increased circulation and you have immune modulating properties as well. So it's going to balance out your immune system. The secondary, I'd say, benefits to ozone is it's extremely anti-inflammatory. You reduce inflammation in someone who has chronic pain, they're going to give you a hug at the end of that, at the end of their patient visits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the other thing too, I'll point out real quick is in regards to, the secondary benefits is that ozone itself is extremely antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. So those are all the things, all the quick things that I can talk about with ozone. And it does get a little deeper from there.
Yeah. And I think that it's an anti-inflammatory by way of managing the interleukin 6, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that is correct.
And inflammation is where all the pain comes from in general. I mean, if we can manage inflammation, this is huge.
Yeah, and absolutely. And these markers, right, that you can draw, like hsCRP, sed rate, LD or LDH, depending on your facility, they will move with ozone therapy. Mm-hmm. And that is extremely impressive. Think about that for a patient who has a cancer diagnosis. You start moving those markers in the right direction and, where they start trending down, then all the other therapies that you're bringing in to that patient they're going to be that much more impactful.
I was wondering if you could go into ways in which we could receive ozone therapy, starting with anything from IV all the way down to insufflations.
Yeah. So if we were to list everything down, if you could kind of mentally have a bulleted list going here, we'll start off with all the IVs. There's an IV ozone called major autohemotherapy. So it's MAH. That's what you're going to hear clinics advertise it as if you're a patient and you're listening to this. So major autohemotherapy, by definition, is taking blood out of the body, ozonating it, and returning it back to the patient. There's another IV called ozone UBI, where you're taking blood from the patient, you're ozonating it, and then you're running it past UV light, ultraviolet light, and we can get into that as well after this. And then there's something called 10-pass ozone IVs, where you're taking 200 mLs of blood, you ozonate it, you return it back times 10. Mm-hmm. After that particular ozone IV, there's something called high dose, which is 300 mLs of blood running past UV light two times, and then it's ozonated with a liter of ozone. And then you have EBU. So EBU is extracorporeal blood oxygenation and ozonation. So that is where you're taking, you have two different IV lines started in a patient. You draw blood from the patient. It's running into this diffuser. We're having a maximum exposure of ozone into blood, and then it's returning back to the patient. So it's constantly circulating, drawing blood, and returning it while you're sitting in the chair. So those are the IVs there. There's ozonated saline as well, which is really popular, like in Russia, Ukraine. Not necessarily in the U.S. It actually became, I'd say, a little bit more popular during COVID, and it's since died off. But that is a whole, there's a whole technique to doing that. It's not like just pushing a syringe of ozone into a bag of saline. It doesn't bind to anything. Mm-hmm. The next, as far as insufflations go, pretty much every orifice outside of the eyes, you can you can do insufflation. So there's ear insufflation, which is systemic to the head. On a little side note, an anecdotal, I'd say testimony that I've seen is I've worked with a clinic that deals with some autistic kids. They've noticed some pretty amazing behavioral changes in the positive after doing some ear insufflations. When you guys know this, as far as, like, you know, autism unfortunately can have a lot of inflammation component to it. Mm-hmm. And when you're ozonating, when you're doing an ear insufflation, it can cross the blood-brain barrier because it's oxygen. Mm. And it will reduce that inflammation. So that's when you start getting into that. And also with, like, dementia and some, like, sundowners and some of those that are related, it's pretty impressive anecdotally. So ear insufflation, sinus insufflation is the next one. That's amazing at knocking out any type of sinus infection. I've seen it used on patients who have Marcon's. From there, you have drinking ozone water. So you can essentially drink it. It's going to be effective for everything. Like, it touches in the mouth all the way esophagus into the stomach lining. After that, back on the insufflations, you have rectal insufflation, vaginal insufflation. And I know those sound kind of interesting that you can stick ozone in those places, but they're extremely effective. Mm-hmm. And there's research out of Cuba. So when you look at some of the research that they've done in regards to rectal insufflation, they're very, very effective. There's pros and cons to everything. One of the big pro side to rectal insufflation is you can do it consistently, like 5 to 7 days, depending on the protocols. Dr. Sylvia Menendez out of Cuba has some amazing research on rectal ozone. Vaginal ozone as well. I've seen it, I'd say in alternated protocols in women, where one day they do rectal ozone, the next day they do vaginal. That is debated as far as if it's systemic or not, but rectal ozone is systemic.
Yeah, the portal veins, yeah, taking it to the bloodstream.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, very effective treatment, can be a low cost, consistent ozone, you know, like a budget option for a patient that may need that. And vaginal ozone, I've seen used, it's been indicated for everything from female cancer related type diagnosis to bacterial vaginosis to, you know, it's a very, I'd say, natural treatment to a lot of, you know, popular health issues in regards to women. I've seen it help, just again, anecdotally, right? help with fertility, which is extremely impressive.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or not, depending if you're planning that or not. And then, you know, the other part to ozone therapy would be like, there's something called limb bagging. So it's essentially exactly as it sounds. You take a limb, an arm or a leg, you wrap a bag around it, and you circulate ozone into a tissue, which is more like, I need to back up a step. If you had a patient who had a diabetic ulcer, for instance, you would do something called limb bagging. So you stick a bag over their foot and you circulate ozone into that tissue. This is something that I presented on, and I'm the biggest pom-pom shaker you've ever met in regards to ozone therapy. And I always make sure everybody knows that it's an adjunct therapy. But I would argue and debate until, you know, the sun went down that ozone therapy should be the standard of care in regards to any type of wound therapy, because I've seen it healed time and time again. I have pictures to prove it, cases that I show anytime I'm presenting, and the results they're just jaw dropping.
Wow. That's amazing. That brings me back. Maybe I'm dating myself, but hydrogen peroxide, what do you make of that?
It's released. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I was just thinking, as far as wound care, that's what we used to do old school, right? Drop some hydrogen peroxide in the... In fact, we use hydrogen peroxide in IV form as well. What are your thoughts on getting the oxygen that way? If any thoughts on that?
So do you remember that as I was breaking down earlier, I said that ozone triggers something called ROSs, reactive oxidative species, and then your LOPs. The third step from that is hydrogen peroxide production. That is where, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just further up the line, further upstream, so to speak, as far as, you know, biochemical reactions. But yeah, you could argue that that's what's, you know, happening. And then plus the reaction that ozone's bringing in, messenger cells, increasing circulation, you know, to that area as well. In regards to a diabetic ulcer that I'm referencing, and that's what helps heal it. So
amazing. What do you, have you heard of those ozonated olive oil, creams for like gums and teeth? Cause I've used that a couple of times.
In my opinion, every home should own a little jar of ozone oil.
Mm-hmm.
You would, like, if you had triple antibiotic in the medicine cabinet, you can go ahead and just throw that in the trash and get you some ozone oil. A much more natural, quicker way of healing up whatever it is you're working on. And then, like you mentioned, there's several different, like, specialized applications for the mouth. There's ozonated toothpaste. You know, when you have something that's antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial, reduces inflammation, think of how many different places you can plug that in the body where it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. So are there any people that we should be wary of in regards to receiving IV ozone specifically?
Yeah. So when it comes to IV ozone therapy, you know, and whenever I talk about contraindications, IV ozone therapy has the biggest contraindication list. That's how I was trying to say that. Mm-hmm. The other therapies, not necessarily, but if you go through the, like, by definition, the patients that are contraindicated for ozone therapy, it's anyone who has bleeding organs, thrombocytopenia, any type of blood clot disorder, any type of recent stroke, recent heart attack, current alcohol intoxication. I was laughing while saying that. Please don't do an ozone therapy on a patient that's currently alcohol intoxicated. I'd love to get your explanation of this one, Dr. Daniels, because you have to deal with this whenever you're doing high dose vitamin C, is a patient who has a significant G6PD deficiency. And you'd be able to explain a G6PD deficiency way better than I would.
Well, I mean, looking at it as an enzyme deficiency, favism, right? So when you are tested positive for having a deficiency of this enzyme, you end up with acute hemolytic anemia. Your red blood cells start breaking. And most people find out they have a G6PD deficiency on an accidentally consuming fava beans and going into an anemic state. I will say I'm not quite understanding why that would be a contraindication for receiving oxygen. And you also have to do that on high dose vitamin C. So I'm not quite sure where down the line it becomes a problem with receiving high dose vitamin C and or ozone therapy, to be quite honest.
I can't answer that part. So ozone is considered an oxidative therapy. Now, your patients are going to hear that word, oxidative therapy, and they're like, wait a minute, why are you trying to make me go backwards? Because ozone is also considered a hormetic-based therapy. And this is one of those things that they may not, until a layperson, they may not know that word, or they may have heard it here and there, but they definitely know what exercise is. And that is a form of stressing the muscle fibers. Like when you exercise, let's say you do weight training. You're tearing those muscle fibers down enough to where they respond. Like, so you're going backwards half a step so that you gain 3 steps, essentially. Mm-hmm. That is the same with ozone therapy because it is oxidative. And a patient who has a significant G6PD deficiency, you worry about hemolysis, which is the red blood cell essentially tearing apart, breaking down. Mm-hmm. So that's the fear. What I can tell you is that it's much more common with high dose vitamin C than it ever would be with ozone therapy, but it's still something that you would need, that most practices are going to draw a G6PD panel on a patient just to make sure before they, you know, they start ozone therapy.
Yeah. And what is defined as high dose C varies for some people. What would you say for a lot of people, over 10,000 milligrams would be too much, necessitating that G6PD be checked?
You know, in the clinic I worked at for many years, anything under 40, there was no G6PD drawn. You know, I laughed because it's debated. If you got to tour with me and go to all these clinics, I mean, it's almost, you know, you would probably get out of 10 clinics, you'd probably get like 4 different answers on that. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some people just play on the safe side, right? But it doesn't help when you're being told that you need such a small amount, just enough to prevent scurvy, that your mindset on like dosing is so bastardized by the industry, you know?
I agree. Yeah.
I wanted to also note real quick here on contraindications, and this always turns out to be a person with contraindications for almost everything, is pregnancy in the first trimester.
Correct. Yeah. Pregnancy, leukemia because of the platelet count. And then hyperthyroidism is another one. And, you know, some of these on this list are, because in your traditionally trained mindset, you hear contraindication and you're thinking the very worst. Like if we did this particular therapy on this patient, ultimately they could die. Well, hyperthyroidism is a great example. If you have a patient you're doing ozone therapy on that does have hyperthyroidism, their system essentially is in so much dysfunction, they may not receive much benefit from doing ozone therapy. So it's not like you're going to harm them, but you're definitely not helping them either. Mm-hmm. So that's one that's in the list. So when you go into Dr. Veliobacci, that's where this list came from. Dr. Veliobacci is considered the Pope of ozone. He was a scientist from Italy, which we give him so many, you know, props and thank yous for structuring a lot of the ozone research material that we have. And then the last, these are specific to UBI therapy because ozone and UBI are combined so often. And speaking on a personal bias here, I would not want to do an ozone IV without UBI with it. And we can talk on that as we get done with this list, but photosensitivity and sulfa drugs are next on that list. So they're tagged, they're on the contraindication list for when you're looking at ozone therapy and UBI combined. Sulfa drugs is another one of those that, when you dig into why they're contraindicated, it's because when you're doing ozone UBI, there's UVC light that blood is being exposed to, and that UVC will actually destroy the sulfa drug as it's, you know, running through the cuvette, going through that quartz glass cuvette and So it's not that you could harm a patient there. You're essentially wasting a dose. So that's why I say it's a contraindication, but at the same point, is it really though? I mean, you're just wasting a dose that day of whatever, you know, if it's whatever medication you might be taking.
So you have the major autohemotherapy, and that one is without light, without UV. So these are kind of stepping up as far as, yes. Yeah, so you got the MAH, major autohemotherapy, that has no light. Then you come in with the UVBI, and that's the ozone with light. And then heading into the big hitter, which is EBU. Do you want to go into why the EBU is superior as far as ozone delivery goes?
Yeah. And, you know, for just so everyone understands, like my full being fully transparent, over the past a little over 2 years now, I've been an EBU trainer where I've traveled from Alaska to New Zealand, installing EBU machines into different practices. So EBU, as I mentioned, is extracorporeal, meaning outside the body, blood, oxygenation, and ozonation. So you're oxygenating and ozonating the blood. But here's where, in my opinion, where EBU is superior to all the other IVs that we talked about, whether it's MAH, you heard me reference standard ozone UVI, 10 pass, and high dose, is when those other therapies that I just mentioned, those other IV therapies, they have one single diffusion point of ozone coming in contact with the blood. So to those that may not be, I might be losing, let me explain it this way. If you had a fish tank, would you just put a hose that ran air into the fish tank, or would you put a diffusion stone on the end of that air tube to diffuse more air into the tank? That is what you're getting with EBU. So your blood is running through, it's running from one arm going into this, it's a dialysis filter. In the EBU world, we invert it and we run ozone into all these little tubules that have perforations in them. They're very small little, it's 0.2 micron size perforation. So you're diffusing, you have thousands of diffusion points coming in contact with your blood as it's passing through this dialysis filter. It's been repurposed in the EBU world. So because of that efficiency of ozone to blood, you're able to get away with a very low concentration of ozone. Ozone is measured in two ways. In the US, we call it gamma. And all the other parts of the world that aren't as cool as us, they say micrograms per milliliter. So think of cc's and ml's. It's the same thing if I say gamma or micrograms per ml. So EBU uses 3 gamma. And I'll explain why this is important here in just a second. Traditional ozone IVs have a therapeutic range of 40 to 70 gamma. If you go under 40, you don't elicit enough of this oxidative stress in the body to be beneficial. If you go over 70, it's essentially, it's 78 is kind of the cutoff, the ceiling there, you could lyse red blood cells or destroy them. So EBU gets away with using a much lower concentration of ozone. Why is that impactful for a patient? Because if you have a severe chronic condition patient who has a lot of oxidative stress already, they're able to tolerate EBU. This is from my experience after witnessing almost 1,000 procedures at this point, that they're able to tolerate EBU much easier than they are something like a 10 pass ozone, which is just ozone. It's a very high concentration, high dose therapy, where EBU is low concentration, high dose. So it's interesting the way that the delivery method of EBU, you can get away with using such a low concentration and it have such a big benefit. Here's something too, that as I wrap up this little EBU talk, I'll say that that makes it so impressive. If you remember in the beginning, I talked about reactive oxidative species and lipid oxide peroxide. So your ROSs is what happens when ozone first comes in contact with blood. It's your early and quick acting. Think of like a, you know, like lighting a napkin on fire. It's super quick and then done. Your LOPs are much more like a pilot light. They're very smooth, long lasting. Ozone, different concentrations of ozone do different things. So high concentrations of ozone, think 70 gamma, traditional ozone IV, they create a lot of ROSs and a little bit of LOPs. EBU does the exact opposite. It creates a little amount of ROSs and a lot of LOPs. So you could make the argument this is the longest lasting ozone therapy IV and that you could do. And that's what we've seen. That's played out in both labs and then just, you know, symptoms of the patients as well.
Wow, that's a great explanation. I could take back to my patient who always talks to me about why is this concentrate or this, why is this so low? The three gamma. So thank you. That's going to be really helpful for her to understand that.
Yeah, it's, I've fallen in love with the EBU, Dr. Daniels, because, and can I, I'll be very transparent. EBU is not new. It actually is the grandpa to some of these, you know, like high dose, these fancy looking IV, ozone IV systems, 10 pass and so on. Its time in the spotlight already came and went. So whenever it showed back up late 2019, early 2000s, and we all know what was going on at that time, you know, it's almost like somebody walking into your house with a VCR and go, check this out. This is freaking awesome. You're like, yeah, it was when we were like kids, but why do you have that here? Well, just like everything else, it evolves. And that's essentially what you have now in some of these EBU devices that have UVI with it. You know, that is what we've seen with EBU and this like resurgence of EBU. And, you know, these COVID long hauler patients, for instance, give them, I don't want to say give them credit because that sounds horrible in the way that, it, and I don't mean it that way, but they are essentially responsible for bringing EBU back.
Mm-hmm.
And other practitioners have seen, well, man, this is actually pretty awesome. Let's do it. And then other companies have jumped into the mix and evolved the original EBU into what it is now. So, you know, COVID long haulers are, I'd say, are the most common patient demographic for EBU. In the beginning, and then now it's exploded into everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. What are some other conditions people might want to come in and try an EBU or ozone in general? I think of Lyme patients because we see a lot of them at our clinic. Do you have any other cases?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lyme for sure. Lyme is always going to, you know, ozone therapy is always going to be indicated for Lyme patients. Where I would now, there's going to be Lyme patients listening to this and be like, dude, come on. I've already tried that. I felt horrible whenever I did it. I'm not doing that again. This is where I would like you to remember that we're not causing as much oxidative stress as what we are with traditional ozone IVs. So you definitely should try EBU. It's a different animal. And to flip-flop this, if you try to use 3-gamma on a traditional ozone IV, you wouldn't be, it's just a hangout session. We're just watching your blood go from, you know, out of you and back into you. And you just, how was your weekend? Great. I mean, there's no medical benefit to it. Whereas EBU is completely different. So, you know, that's what I would say. Other conditions too, like any sort of like Sears is another one that I'm seeing amazing responses from. I had a couple of practitioners on a webinar recently talked about that. Your elite level athletes are falling in love with EBU. I know of, there's several, I'm just going to say pro athletes, because I don't want to talk about like what specific sport, but their names, you would know them, that are doing this and they're having amazing results. Biohackers are, they're always a fun bunch. I love those guys. They're falling in love with EBU as well. And here's something too, where I feel like, you know, if I told you, okay, Dr. Daniels, I need you to do this protocol. And I'm going to give you an option. You can come in and do 4 sessions, or you can do 20 sessions. We're both going to get most likely to the finish line, you know, in 20 sessions or 4 sessions. Which one would you pick?
Well, time is money, so let's go.
That's where really, you know, is really shining as well. You're getting to the finish line a little quicker with EBU. Than what you are with the other ozone IVs. Mm-hmm.
It also works really well with mold too. Being in Seattle, we have a lot of patients that have mold toxicity. It's really helpful. They find that it gives them a lot more energy.
Yeah, I've never seen moss growing on top of overpasses like I have in like Portland and Seattle. It was interesting. As a Texan who lives in the desert, I was like, wow, that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of resiliency in the moss there. But yeah, I can imagine you guys have a high mold count, and obviously that's indicated with ozone therapy. And here's one too, that for the patient that's tried everything or feels like they've tried everything, give ozone therapy a shot, because it is cellular medicine. You're starting with, this is a root cause based therapy. So if you remember the Krebs cycle talk, if you essentially straighten out your mitochondria, then the sky's the limit.
Because
your body, your body's designed to heal itself. That's why I love the aligned. We definitely align. And if we just get out of the way, you take out what the body doesn't need, give it what it needs, get out of the way, it's amazing. We are so intelligently designed.
Yes. I do like the Ebu. There's a couple of reasons I like the Ebu. I only just started offering or doing Ebu in clinic at the clinic I'm working at now. And so at first it was a little bit intimidating, because you've got to have two good veins, right? So it's quite a setup. But once you're set up and you're rocking and rolling, you're treating 2 liters of blood in 50 minutes. It's just turning out all of this amazing, as you said, just better blood, right? It's just, we're giving it back better. The other ozone therapies aren't doing that much blood. I think we do probably only 60 mils for our MAH. But yeah, the Ebu is amazing because it is going to treat the 2 liters. I was also wondering if you could tell us the benefits of and the synergy between the UBI and the ozone therapies.
Yeah. In short, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. So let me explain. So I gave you this big, long talk about ozone and, you know, what happens when it comes in contact with a cell. Essentially, it's binding to the albumins, the lipids, that component of the blood. That's what it's, you know, it's doing. Well, as that ozonated blood, well, let's talk Ebu, for instance. You're drawing blood from, you know, from one arm, it's going into this diffuser where it's coming in contact with ozone. Once it's ozonated, that runs past UV light. So you now have your ozonated blood. And remember, the albumins, the lipids, that's what's picking up that energy. We'll call it that. Then the hemoglobin is essentially picking up it's called biophotonic energy from UBI. So when you look at what ultraviolet light does, so, and UBI stands for ultraviolet blood irradiation. I have butchered that back in the day. I cannot tell you how many times. So if you've butchered it before in the past, it's okay. You're welcome to the club, but it's ultraviolet blood irradiation. Your blood is being exposed to different types of UV light. Most UBI machines out there will have UVC, UVB, and UVA. So UVC is your heavyweight. You've probably seen this used industrially. Like if you fly, for instance, you'll see a escalator and it has a sign that says this escalator's, you know, treated with UVC light. Because UVC is absolutely, it's kind of like ozone. It'll kill anything in a petri dish. It's, you know, antiviral, bacterial, fungicidal. It's amazing.
I actually have a light that it's like a cleaner that I set up next to my bed, and I use it in my room, and it's like I have to go away. You know, I set it and I have to leave, and the light goes, and that's what it's purported to do, is be killing all this bacteria in my bedding and in my room. Does that sound kind of similar?
Absolutely. That's it. It's most likely UVC light. And think of how, the sun heals, correct? Like, let's just talk about that. If you have, we'll use this example, and a practitioner that I had on a mastermind used this, and I thought it was brilliant. If you have a sweaty sock from a teenager and you set it out in the sun and you come back and get it a day later, it's no longer stinky and sweaty and gross. It's actually been cleaned. That is the sunlight. So these therapies that I'm telling you about are completely natural. You have essentially oxygen, electricity, and sunlight that's treating your blood. And it sounds almost too good to be true, but the response that you get from it is just epic. And it's cellular based. It's cellular medicine. But yeah. Back to the different lights, you have UVB and UVA as well. And they have a lot of overlap between them. So when you start looking into them, it gets a little muddy on what does what. But those guys are doing a lot of what ozone therapy is doing. They're increasing your oxygen uptake, which is funny that, you know, UV light is not essentially an oxygen-based therapy, but it's still increasing your oxygen uptake. And then it also they also have immune modulating properties. The last thing that it does is make your red blood cells much more pliable. So they pass through your circulatory system much easier. So if you have a cardiac condition, then think about how extremely beneficial that would be for you. The last thing I'll touch on this is that I have a practitioner friend of mine that is putting together research showing he's a cardiologist here in Texas, and he's showing ejection fractions improve with some other therapies in combination with EBU. That is extremely impressive.
That'd be amazing. What have you seen any benefit with the ozone treatments for blood pressure?
I have. Remember the increase in vasodilation that you get from, you know, pre-post ozone therapy. You're going to see, and that I cannot tell you how long it's going to last for a patient, but it that has been very impressive and very consistent as well.
The synergy of ozone and the light therapy seem to have just a exponentially higher success rate when combined together. And then these two therapies were also helpful for Lyme patients, like we talked about how they're concerned about herxing, for example. And when we added the light to the ozone, they actually herx less.
Correct. And I meant to finish that out. And that is one of the things I was going to talk about is that this is just an observation. We all have biases, but you can't argue with results. And what I have seen play out time and time again, that patients who are doing ozone plus UV light typically do not have those harsh Herxheimer reactions like you would with just doing an ozone therapy. For instance, 10 pass, you heard me mention that particular ozone IV, which is amazing. It definitely gets its own gold star and we could have a podcast on it, but it can be at times too much for a patient. And for those that aren't familiar with the Herxheimer reaction, a quick way to sum it up is you're essentially detoxing the body or there's die-off that is occurring and your liver cannot keep up. So you have, I'll jump right to as bad as it could be. You could have a rash that typically are like around like lymph drain points, for instance, like underneath the armpits, behind the knees, inside the elbows, sides of the neck, or you could have a fever. So to some of you out there who've been on health journeys, you would probably be looking at me like, that's the worst that could happen. Let's do it. Others who like, you know, you've hit your limit with symptoms, you want to experience bad symptoms anyway. That is where I tell you that if you're going to do ozone therapy, this is just a personal bias. And what I've seen out there, you'd want to do it with UV light as well.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely. And the Herxheimer reaction, I affectionately call it a healing crisis to put a positive spin on it.
Isn't that funny? Because you have patients that, and I was this guy at one time, so I'm making fun of myself, a pinky nail hurts and you're like, whoa, 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 I'm done. Like, we're not doing anything more.
Yeah.
Then you have patients that come in the next day and they're rashed up from head to toe and they're like, let's go, let's hit the gas. And you're trying to, you know, make them pump the brakes a little bit, but you're 100% correct. Yeah, it is a healing crisis. But to those patients who have tried everything and never experienced something like that, and they're educated, they would almost high five you and be like, yes, we're on the right path. Mm-hmm. You know, let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had, when I was a resident in back in Salt Lake City, I don't know how many years ago now, but I had tried the MAH. And the one thing that I noticed the most was the colors were so vivid. I went to the park after I was done with my session, and I can't tell you how amazing the colors were, really super bright and clear and crisp. As I guess my retina was super oxygenated. It just was incredible.
Yeah, think of the like circulation increase that you get from, you know, post ozone treatment. That is what's responsible for the, you know, the colors being much more sharp. Mm-hmm. I want to share, this is fresh on my mind. I was in Salt Lake City yesterday and the day before training a clinic on Ebu. And that's what I do, in case you guys ever have questions on that. If you hear the podcast, you know, you guys would be able to reach out and connect. But there was the practitioner, he was an anesthesiologist. It was a sister, and she had RA, and her hands had nodules on them. They were very, very stiff. She was almost in tears when she got done with her Ebu treatment, and she was able to move her hands, and she just kept staring at him, was constantly like opening and closing them and going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
It's impressive. And you know, that's not every Ebu session is going to be like that. I don't want to set the wrong expectations for patients, but I mean, like even a neuropathy patient, you increase their circulation and you're winning. That's half the battle right there.
Mm-hmm. I would be really curious to be a guinea pig. I don't know if I have two good veins, but I have Raynaud's pretty badly. And I'm wondering if it would help with that, just the microcirculation.
So my post-COVID gift was Raynaud's.
Oh,
so there's some sort of autoimmune component to that, I know, but that is what it left me. So, and I've personally at this point had 18 EBUs. So it's perks of the job, but also being a trainer and being around it as much as I have. So a little over 2 years now, 18 EBUs. And I can tell you, for me, it's helped a lot.
Wow.
It's not 100% gone. Mm-hmm. I wish I could get, here's how I get my EBU treatments is, I'm training you, Dr. Daniels, in your clinic, and your 2 o'clock doesn't show up. Well, you have a guy standing next to you who has veins that are like hoses, and you're like, well, you're it, buddy. Sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's usually how I get them. And it's it's kind of been inconsistent, but I wish I could do more of a structured protocol with other things involved.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like I'm trending the right direction for sure. So yeah, I wish you could get an Ebu treatment.
Yeah.
And I would love, but you can see capillary refill improve pre-post on Ebu. So it's pretty quick.
Mm. Yeah, that would be incredible to remedy for sure. Yeah. So as far as, I wanted to ask real quick, it might seem off topic, but it's not. The heparin that goes into the IV bag for the Ebu, can you talk to us about why heparin is used for that and maybe some unintended positive effects you might get from the heparin itself?
Yeah. So whenever you're running Ebu, we're drawing blood. We're pulling it and we got to return it. Well, you cannot have any of that clotting, right? So you have to use some sort of anticoagulant. And so we use heparin. The protocol calls for 7,500 units of heparin. Depending on your medical background or just as a patient, that may sound like a lot, or it may not sound like anything if you're a former ICU, nurse. So with that being said, one thing I do want to point out is, just because we're using 7,500 units of heparin, if you've been trained correctly, then you're not going to use all of that going back to the patient. The other part to that, so getting in more to like the therapeutic benefits, heparin is amazing at reducing inflammation on its own. That is impressive. And then it can also help with your calcium uptake. So those two things, it wasn't just like grabbed out of thin air. It has its own place in the in the wheel, right? So that is extremely impressive. Now, its primary use is to prevent clotting. Its secondary benefits is what I just talked about.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know they were using for during COVID, they were using ozone and heparin in the hospitals. I think they were using maybe it was just 4 units of the heparin, but they were just having amazing results with that. But the ozone treatments really did, I agree with you, come online during COVID and started to have a rebirth, so to speak.
Yeah, it did. Dr. Mark Hyman, which you're probably familiar with, Dr. Daniels, yes, but if your listeners aren't, he is head of the functional medicine division in the Cleveland Clinic, like the Cleveland Clinic, which is very like world renowned. So he talks about ozone therapy, and he did this, and you can actually look this up now. It's still up. He did an interview with an Italian frontline doc where he was discussing like how they're treating patients in Italy versus how they're doing in the US. And they mentioned using ozone therapy on all their patients who were severe COVID, or, you know, were like right in the peak of their symptoms and so on. And they were discharging patients. No one was going on vents. Mm-hmm. So that's very impressive. And here's like back to the biochemistry side of it. If you're increasing 2,3-DPG, which is that enzyme, which helps the red blood cell engorge itself with oxygen, think of how efficient that is to somebody who is about to go on a vent, like how what we're having here in the US.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pulse ox, anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the ventilators were really, really quite dangerous to use actually, because it was forcing oxygen into the alveoli, which was problematic, the wrong treatment. So I wish we were using that more during COVID, the ozone treatments, to be honest. And especially the anti-inflammatory part as well, which is what the hydroxychloroquine was doing for everyone, and also being antimicrobial as well. Mm-hmm. Similar benefits to these older prescriptions, you know, when we compare them with ozone, very similar treatments.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said earlier, it almost sounds like too good to be true when you start hearing about ozone therapy. But when you reverse engineer that in your mind and you start back on the cellular level, which is what it's essentially treating, it makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So as far as trainings for you, are you just working with medical professionals and getting clinics set up with Ebu, or do you have any online information for the layperson they could study and learn a little bit more about oxygen and ozone treatments?
Yeah. So me on a day-to-day basis, I'm typically working with medical professionals one way or the other, all credentials, which is a beautiful thing, and all specialties too. So as I mentioned, cancer hospitals in Tijuana, Mexico, to elite athlete performance centers in Arizona.
Okay.
So, you know, that has been, it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely, here's something like it's been a big blessing on my end is like the education that it, like my knowledge on all these different, you know, subjects. When you go into different clinics and you interact with them and you learn their specialty, some of that rubs off on you. And, you know, so if I said anything intelligent over the past, you know, time that we've talked, it's a byproduct of all these clinics that I've spent time with, and they've spent time with me and educated me, and I'm just passing that on. Mm. You know, as far as the layperson goes, I would point them to that YouTube video that Dr. Mark Hyman did. He has a big testimony himself in regards to ozone therapy essentially changed his life. He was very, very sick.
Okay.
Wow. And he attributes ozone therapy to correcting the ship, so to speak. Mm. So I work for a company called MedMasters. Our website is medmasters.org. There's a YouTube channel where all of the Ebu masterminds that I host are on. So those are on there. Those are all free. You can jump on and, you know, view those anytime. For a lay person, there's a lot of good information now on YouTube regarding ozone therapy that you could hit search and find a lot of good stuff just to start on a baseline. Mm-hmm. If you want to dig into it further, there's an article that I'd recommend by Dr. Ruhi Secure, and I really hope I'm not butchering his name. If he's listening, please understand. And I apologize. It's CAKIR. It's called the General Aspects to Ozone Therapy. I point everyone there, whether okay. it's a medical practitioner or a layperson, dive into that. It's got a great mix of biochemistry all the way down to like practical information.
Yeah, we can add that to the show notes mm-hmm. so people don't have to try to find that. We can make it really easy. Mm-hmm. I have to say, having done several EBU IVs on patients, it is in real time amazing to see the dark venous blood coming out. And after treated with the ozone and the light, how bright it goes back in. You can see, it's like, if you like instant, you know, gratification in real time, you can see your blood change going out and going right back in. It's an incredible session to be a part of. And it's been really great to learn to give them and do them for people and see how much their inflammation comes down with it. I think most disease states are rooted in inflammation. And I think this is the big sell point for me on oxygen is, A, you need it. It's natural. It's from nature. And it's going to be anti-inflammatory for everything. So mm-hmm. I love this. I love this IV. So thank you for explaining so much more to me on it. It's one of those therapies that, like you said, you can have done in hopefully fewer sessions and see grand results.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, for me, I feel like it's just now a part of my life. And it was even whenever I worked in, you know, a clinic. I was a single dad for a long time. And when my son lived with me, I'd walk in and the first thing he would say is like, you smell like ozone. We did a lot, and it's because we did a lot of ozone injections that we didn't even get into that topic. But we did a lot of ozone injections in the clinic I was at, and I was always around it and I fell in love with it. And let me share this story with you real quick, because we did get into this, but you know, my first exposure ever to ozone. And I'm going to take a step back from this. I worked for a traditional doc for 8 years. So like the kind that had to see 60 patients a day, kind of traditional doc. Mm. And I was sick myself. I had my own healing crisis. I had migraines. And to some people, migraines are just a headache. But to me, they were brutal and they altered my life. I was getting like 5 to 7 a week. And that's a lot. And, you know, you'd have to go to sleep and it's hard to work. I was failing at everything. Mm-hmm. Failing in a relationship, failing in work, failing at being a dad. But I heard of a weird doc, I'm saying this affectionately, that was like using all these other weird things to heal these patients. He supposedly healed somebody who had celiac disease. And I was like, come on, there's no way. You can't heal celiac disease. And word was going around, and I went to go see him. You know, I've already seen all these other specialists. I was on 8 different medications, which, you know, again, still had migraines, even though I was on all these medications. So I had nothing to lose. And he pointed me to a book called Wheat Belly by Dr. William Davis. And it changed my life. So he empowered me to fix me. Yeah. And ended up working for him. Got promoted to a lab director, and the first patient that that I was a part of and I got to see she was a friend of the clinic. She went to Costa Rica to get a breast reduction surgery, and her left breast became severely infected. The first time I saw it, working in traditional doctor's office, I've seen enough diabetic ulcers in my time to be like, yeah, that's horrible. It's probably gonna be amputated. But, you know, with the breast tissue, it was already almost necrotic. We did a procedure called a limb bag, which I described earlier. Mm-hmm. And not only did it reverse it, it healed it. And wow. I've used pictures whenever I'm presenting on this. And I was blown away. It's like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. There's no way that tissue should have been. And you could see it. Like it went in stages. It was not an overnight thing. It was a month and a half protocol. She was coming in 2 to 3 times per week, mm-hmm. but you have somebody who is almost septic to you know, perfect, like bright pink tissue coming back. It's impressive.
Wow.
I was a little angry, I'll be honest, because I still remembered patients that lost toes or feet or, you know, amputations that probably shouldn't have. Yeah. So that's why I'm so passionate about limb bagging and wound therapy. Uh-huh. And ozone. But anyways, that, you know, it just shows the power of oxygen. I mean, that's all it is, right?
Yeah, essentially. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And microbes cannot survive in an oxygen rich environment. I mean, this is the beauty behind it's a simple medicine, actually, when you think about it. And like you said, it's like the VCR that you're trying to show me right now.
Right. Yeah. That's
Yeah, next time we'll have to have you on and we can go into other injections and stuff like that too, because like you said, we didn't cover any of that this round. But we'll definitely have you back on to go over some more oxygen therapy. Maybe we'll do some meditation.
I'm ready for that, for sure.
Oh, well, thank you for taking time out. I know you just got back from Utah, so hopefully you're going to get some good sleep tonight. And we appreciate all your knowledge around this topic. So,
yeah, Jason, I just want to praise you for the way that you present information. Just really, you know, you brought us into some complex topics and then you just really landed it with examples. And as a fellow teacher, I really appreciate the way that your mind works and the way you're able to communicate that. So thanks again for doing that for us and our listeners today.
Yeah, you're a great teacher. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment. And I mean, I love this. I love the piece the wheel that I play in helping empower practitioners with these simple therapies. It's oxygen, electricity, and UV light.
Yes, and quantum, baby, quantum medicine. That's right. That's right. It's nature.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. On that note, my friend, take care and we'll be talking to you again.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Thank I appreciate you. It all.
Thank Absolutely. You so much, Jason. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What is ozone, you ask? Well, it's a supercharged oxygen. It's a molecule that contains three oxygen atoms, whereas the oxygen we breathe consists of two oxygen atoms. Ozone forms readily when sun strikes the oxygen, so it is natural, present in an oxygen-rich atmosphere. You may have smelled it on yourself or on your little one's skin and hair. After a long day outside in the glorious sun, I've always wondered, what is that smell of flame outside? And it turns out it's ozone. It's always been one of my favorite scents. You might prefer the smell of sulfur, dioxide from a match, or the smell of benzene added to your gas. But neither of those odors yield any healing properties the way that ozone does.
We hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.